I'm holding in my hand a light bulb. No, it's not the kind that you would screw into a socket in a lamp that you have at your home, nor is it one that you'd put up in the ceiling. But many of you were here 2 weeks ago this morning when we were watching a video and it suddenly went dark in the middle of it. And this is what was there. This is the light that was taken out of it. Now, it's a rather sophisticated looking thing, isn't it? I mean, and you wonder, why do we have to get rid of all of this? I mean, there's a lot there. Look at those screws that attach it where it belongs. And even with the eyes of an eagle or a hawk, you won't be able to see these small screws that attach this little piece to the larger area. And then there are even smaller screws that attach these little screens here. It looks to me like they're about a 16th of an inch in diameter, the heads of those screws. I'm sure I don't have a screwdriver that would even deal with those. So there's some pretty sophisticated stuff there, but it's worthless. It doesn't shine. It's not worth anything to us. A burnt out bulb is of no use. It may look good, but it's useless. And there's one place for it. The rubbish heap. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, gave a couple of metaphors for who we are and the work that we are to do. One has to do with salt and the other with light. And our scripture memory verse for the month of October now that we're introducing today is one that's very familiar to us. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, which focuses in on the light, but I don't want us to separate it completely from the salt that is mentioned in verse 13. And because the two seem to go together and fit together with different aspects of what is involved in our responsibility before God. As this bulb does not light up and thus is useless, worth nothing but the rubbish heap, the same is true for God's people who are to be the light of the world, to be cast out, unless they shine as they are supposed to. For our scripture lesson, we'll read the first 20 verses of Matthew 5. Here we have the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which of course begins with the Beatitudes and then goes on beyond that to the responsibilities that we have to be salt and light in the world. Matthew 5, beginning with the first verse. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of his word, and let's recite that 16th verse together. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. That's our memory verse for the month of October. There are really three different metaphors that he uses here, not just the salt and the light, but the city that is set on a hill. The salt is to be salty so that it is useful. If it's not salty, what good is it? If it doesn't have that saltiness, it doesn't flavor your food, it's not good for the things that you use it for. We are called the light of the world. We are like a city that is set on a hill. And so we are a light that lights, brings light to the world. So here is this statement: you are the light of the world. What do you think about that? I thought Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Well, he said both of these things, didn't he? Christ declared it to be so that you are the light of the world. It's not an optional thing. But when he requires something of us, as we've already noted a number of times, he also gives what he requires. And so, by the grace of redemption, as he has worked in us, he has made us to be the light of the world, because he has given us understanding so that we can shine before the world and the world can come to know who God is as we live as prophets before the world, speaking prophetically to the world. The world does not understand these things. It's only something that is understood by the grace of Christ, as the Apostle Paul made clear in writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Christ declared that you are the light of the world. That's your position. Whether you want that position or not, it's the position that he has given to you and me. And he gave it to us by saving us. But then, as we've already noted in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And here we see the two then coming together. Because we are able to shine as lights in the world as he enables us to shine, as he works in us, because he himself is the light of the world who is in us shining brightly. It was necessary for him to be light in order for you and me to be light. And there's a responsibility then that we have to respond to him as the light of the world, and so to serve as he would have us to serve. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians, uses this terminology also in the second chapter, and I think it helps us to understand what it means to be light in the world. Beginning with verse 14, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." I want you to notice the two-pronged description of what it means to be light in the world. First of all, it means that we are different from the world. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Is that the way you do things? Do everything without complaining or arguing. It's very natural for us as sinners to complain about our situation, to complain about the way things are going, to complain about this or that or the other thing, without complaining or arguing. But we are to be blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which we shine like stars in the world. And then he goes on to point out the positive aspect. Not just the negative, as we are different, we don't do things the way the world does. We don't complain and argue all the time the way they do. But we hold out the word of life. And there's our responsibility. And in order for us to hold out the word of life, that means we need to be very well acquainted with it. We need to be in it. We need to be using it. Because there's where the light, Jesus, is. As he deals with us, he is the word of God. So you were made to be light in the world, and that means a number of things: being different from the world, and it means holding out the word of life, being that prophetic voice to the world so that the world hears the gospel and comes to know who God is. So you are to bring illumination to the world. After all, the purpose of a light is to shine. And so this bulb here has lost its purpose. It no longer shines. At one point it did, and it did a very good job, didn't it? But it no longer shines. And when we look at what Jesus had to say here in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you're to be like a city set on a hill, and you're not to be one who lights a lamp and then puts a basket over it, but rather you're to let it shine. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in writing on this passage, says that a lot of commentators will go to great extent to talk about the bushel that is mentioned there, and just to describe what that bushel is, and he says he chuckles at it because who cares what that basket is, what that bushel is? The point is that it hides the light. It does not allow the light to shine. And so a light that is blocked is of no use. It does not enable us to see the things that that we ought to see. So it's against your purpose not to shine. The purpose for which God made you, and when he said, you are light, you are the light of the world. But the reason he has to say this is because there is a temptation that we are in danger of falling into, not to shine, not to be lit, not or to have something block that shining. And what he's saying here then is a Christian who doesn't shine is useless. Useless. It's a contradiction in terms. It's like saying a Christian who doesn't pray. You know, those two terms just do not go together. It is the responsibility then that we have to shine as lights in the universe. We are reminded a bit of this by what Jesus had to say that is recorded for us in John 15, where he says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." He cuts off, that is, his Father is the one who cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. But then he says, reiterates, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. That's what it is like to be a light that doesn't shine. To be salt that isn't salty. To be a city that is supposed to be on a hill but is hidden. You are to bring illumination to the world. You're to make known to the world what the Word of God is, what the truth of the Word of God is, so that the world may indeed know the Lord, to know His glory. Now, there are other translations of this verse that use the word "so" in there. And I really like the way that that it does that. Or here it is in the New American Standard: "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That let your light so shine, that is, in that particular way, so that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the way Jesus did his miracles, isn't it? So many of the miracles, after they were completed, we read, and they gave glory to God. That's the way that we are to shine in the world. We are to shine in such a way that our good deeds bring glory to our Heavenly Father. And oh, how we long for those deeds to bring glory to us. But such good deeds done for our glory are sin in God's sight. It's interesting that in Proverbs, I believe it's the 21st chapter, there's a verse that says, "The plowing of the wicked is sin." That's the way it is in the King James. Most of the modern translations have it as, "The lamp of the wicked is sin." And if we use that newer translation, you see what effect it has on our understanding of this verse. Even what is light among the wicked is sin. The good that they do is done for themselves. It's done selfishly. I could be a farmer and produce all sorts of food for people to eat, and that's a good thing. But if I do it in such a manner that it does not bring glory to God, it is sin. And so it is for every other work that we do, every other activity. If it is not done for the Lord our God, if it is not done for His glory, to bring glory to Him, then it is sin. So the Christian is not one who brings glory to himself or draws attention to himself. In football, you often see someone scoring a touchdown and doing some sort of a dance in the end zone, bringing glory to himself. On the other hand, there are others who will score a touchdown and they'll get down on one knee and bow their head and so forth. And that seems to me to be just as ostentatious as the one who is doing the dance in the end zone. Because here is one who is drawing attention to himself, say, look at me, see what a good Christian I am. When Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet, not into the end zone. Go into your closet, and your Father is able to hear you in secret as you glorify Him. So you may be doing good deeds well enough, but if you're doing them so that you can be glorified rather than the Lord God, you don't have the right purpose there. You're not fulfilling the obligation, the duty that God gave to you when He said, you are the light of the world. You are to shine in such a way then that God is glorified. In other words, the goal for which we are laboring is that God be exalted. And if we don't keep that goal in mind, it would be easy to just slip and do something else. There are times in my own life when I have gone through in my own mind how I might respond or how to respond in a particular situation. And then as I think about that, I say, well, wait a minute. That's not quite right. Maybe I need to back off there somehow a little bit. And the more I think about it, then I realize that even backing off a little bit isn't enough. That I have to completely restructure the way I look at that particular situation. How can I deal with that situation so that God will be glorified? Remember how in Proverbs it says a soft answer turns away wrath. You see, there's no place for cynicism or sarcasm in responding to people if we want them to glorify God. And so even toning down sarcasm is still sarcasm. And it's not really bringing the people to understand who God is so that they would glorify His name. Remember, you and I cannot make them glorify God. But you and I can reflect the glory of God to the world so that as God uses us then, they might come to understand who God is, how magnificent He is. Because we are to shine for His glory. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That's who you are to be. If you're a burnt out light, there's one place for you. It's right here. You know where you want to be. Not thrown out on that heap where you are buried, trampled under feet of men, but where you can bring glory to God. As you think of your own life, you might think, well, I'm kind of a burnt out bulb, a burnt out light. If that's the way you feel, I want to encourage you that there's still time to shine. It's still possible. By the grace of God, we are able to shine for His glory and bring people to know by His grace that He is God. We live in a society that is focused on itself, with its selfies and all sorts of other things that draw attention to ourselves. But we're to turn away from those things in order that we might glorify God, to speak prophetically to the world. And so as God lifts the light of His face on you, He enables you to shine brightly.